Praise God. Everyone say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Good to be in Augusta. Praise God. And thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that I feel here tonight. Amen. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Good to see. Amen. A lot of familiar faces. And now it's good to see a lot of faces that I don't know so much. But you know what? That's part of revival. Amen. Thank God. Amen for revival. How many thankful for revival? Amen. I'm thankful for revival. It starts in us. Praise God. And as I was talking to Brother Worths the other day, Amen. We were just talking about what God is doing. And, man, we're doing good. Church hasn't even started yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was looking at this clock up here. It says 7:15. And I thought, surely that's not right. And then I remember, oh, yeah, we started at 6:30. So, amen. Y'all forgive me if I preach a while here tonight because this clock looks like I have plenty of time. Praise God. Amen. I promise you I won't hold you a long time. Amen. But I do feel like God is giving me something. But Brother Worths and I were talking, amen, and he was telling me about, amen, the vision, amen, that he has for Augusta. Amen. And he never told me that he had a vision. Amen. But I just listened to the man of God as he began to talk. Amen. And as he began to tell me how that, amen, this church, amen, is in a building program of raising money, amen, to build a new sanctuary for God. Hallelujah. Hey, that's the greatest vision. Amen. A vision of seeing people get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And, you know, that's how it started. Actually, Pastor Elder, amen, you just have to forgive me. Can I take this coat off? Amen. You all have to forgive me. I'm just going to make myself at home here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And a long time ago, Brother Elder, my pastor, amen, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he preached revival, amen, vision of what God's going to do, amen, of how God's going to work in your life, amen. And he would just get up in the pulpit without fear or favor and just preach it. Amen. You know what he was doing is there's an old term called seeding the clouds. Amen. When they go out and it's not raining or when it is getting ready to storm and they go out and they put out that dry ice into those ice storms and it stops the hail from falling, but the rain will start falling. Amen. And in the Word of God, that's also the same way Elijah told him to pour the water on the sacrifice. He said, come on, pour some more water on it. He said, pour some more water on it. You know what he was doing is he was getting ready to seed the clouds in faith for revival. Amen. Then he went and started praying. He said to his servant, he said, you know, tell me what you see. And he went out and for six times he didn't see any clouds in the sky. And on the seventh time, he came back and he said, you know, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Well, when all that water was taken up out of that sacrifice, you know what happens when in this hot summertime when that water goes up into the cloud? Amen. It's called evaporation. Amen. And that water goes up into the cloud as rain, as we know it, and then it comes back down upon the earth. Amen. And you know what happened is Elijah seeded the cloud. You know what, church? We can seed the clouds of revival. Amen. By what we're going to do right now in this service is that we're going to believe God for a revival for Augusta, Kansas. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm here to preach faith to you tonight. Amen. That God wants to do great things. He has done great things. Amen. And he wants to do even greater things. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And about 5 years ago, amen, you can be seated. Amen. We embarked on a it's not an adventure, amen, but it was a walk of faith. Amen. And I told the church, I said, I don't know how God's going to do it, but you know, I do know one thing, that God blesses his people so that they can bless the kingdom of God. And since that time, Pastor, amen, God has blessed the people in Hutchinson, Kansas, and they have blessed the house of God. Amen. And that's what God's doing right here in Augusta. God's going to bless his people. Amen. I said God's going to bless his people. Amen. And that's how God's going to build his house. Amen. It's through the people of God. Amen. We don't operate on man's man always he operates on the swell of emotion and people giving. No way. As a man purposeth in his heart, amen, so he gives to God. Amen. And God, I'm going to believe you for a financial miracle so that I can bless the house of God. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to start thanking God for revival in Augusta. I see revival. I see a crowd about the size of a man's hand. And God's going to do a work right here in this city. Oh, praise God. We ought to worship God right now. Hallelujah. God, I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 I thank God for revival. Amen. We're thankful to be here tonight. Amen. To help. Amen. Brother and sister Worths. Amen. A faithful pastor and his wife. Amen. Good to see Sister Netta Worths here tonight. Amen. We're glad. Amen, to see her, amen, the daughter of the man of God, amen, and all you faithful saints of God, praise God, amen, amen, and thank you, Brother Worth, for having us, praise God. How many is thankful for your pastor tonight? Amen, amen. Praise God, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would stand in honor to the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to just preach for a little while here. Amen. And I pray that I can help you tonight. Amen. And living for God. Amen. How many want to live for God? I want to live for God. Praise God. And all this world has to offer, it's going to all come to the end. Amen. Very soon. Amen. No, I'm not a prophet of doom. Amen. But the Word of God tells us that this whole world is going to pass away. Amen. And I thank God, amen, that the church, amen, thank God that his word abideth forever. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And brother Worse, amen, has been a friend to me, amen, for a long time. And probably before I was ever a pastor, amen. Pastors, they fellowship with pastors, amen. And so until, that's just normal. And so until I became a pastor, I really didn't have a lot of one-on-one fellowship, amen. But he always treated me, he had me, I think, preach here a couple times before I was a pastor. But he always treated me as a friend, amen. And since I became a pastor, he's helped me many times. And that's what a pastor does. Amen, as he helps you in living for God. Amen, your pastor will give you the tools to live for God. Amen, he won't make you live for God, but he's going to encourage you to live for God. This is a pastor, not a taskmaster. Hallelujah. Amen. And a pastor is after God's heart. Amen, a pastor is someone, amen, that God has called, amen, to lead his sheep and to feed the sheep. Praise God. Amen. I see a lot of sheep here tonight that are well fed. Amen. They're good. Amen. You're good people of God. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah 66 and 1. And then we'll go to Revelation chapter 21. My brother Worst has always, amen, treated me as a friend. Called me at times where I needed someone to talk to. Amen. And just is an encouragement. Amen. He would come over while we were tearing down the building. I read something the other day. It said it's easy to tear something apart, but it takes a lot of work to build something up. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's the truth. Amen. And so, amen, he's always been an encouragement to Hutchinson. Amen. Coming many times to preach the Word of God to us. Praise God. Revelations 21, I hope I'm not forgetting anything. Amen. If I do forget something, please forgive me. Amen. Revelations 21, it'd be the second reading. Isaiah 66 and 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Praise God. Revelations 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise God. Let's ask God to help us tonight. God, I ask you, Lord, that your anointing, God, would come upon your people and touch your people. God, I thank you tonight for your word, God. I ask you for your anointing, oh God. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church. And God, I know, God, that you're going to continue to do great things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, Lord God. God, we give you glory and honor. God, we thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Shake someone's hand before you sit down and tell them it's good to be in church with you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God tells us, amen, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found the pearl, the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight on the city where God lives. I don't have a lot of tricky messages to preach. I don't have a lot of titles to try to grab your attention. But I just want to talk to you tonight about the city where God lives. Cities are built by men with vision. And when they begin to build cities before you drive through the cities now, you see all of the finery that's going up in the day that we live in. But in the days before the cities were built, there was just the plains and there were just mountains. There were just the hills and the valleys. And when men would come to them, they would see a vision of what could be in that place. Amen. And so these men would begin to lay out the plans for the city and put down the streets and mark out the streets. And they would begin to sell lots to people. And people would say, what is so great about your city? And these men also were great. They were great salesmen. They would send advertisement into the papers of the East. And they would tell them, if you come to this city, there is this great type of opportunity that awaits you, that you can come and have great wealth in this city. And people would come and people would go. And a lot of times the cities that made it actually had the railroads that would come through and that would continue to bring the business. Amen. But these men saw what no one else could see. Cities were built for protection. A lot of times the cities were brought together, amen, by groups of people that were simply trying to protect themselves from the wilds that were around them. In the days before
before there were ways of gunpowder and weapons and weaponry and all different types of things to protect the city, they would have to build walls to keep out, the brigands and all the wild natives that were around them. But cities were a place of safety. Cities were a place of where people wanted to live. Amen. What I'm trying to show you tonight is that these cities were built for a purpose. Amen. Cities, if you look on the plains, if you drive about 12 to 15 miles down about any highway around here, if you go out 400, about every 12 to 15 miles or is a city. Amen. And the reason for that is so that the old settlers that had their farms and their ranches is so that they could ride to town and back home in one day. Amen. And those were about the distance you could travel in one day. About 15 miles was about max. And so these cities were built, and these cities were built on a plain. They became the Meccas of where people would come for fellowship, and they would come for restaurants, and then people wanted to come there and call these cities home, call these places that were named after men and after places of the world. Augusta, I don't know what this town is named after, amen, but I'm sure that there is a story, the reason why this city is named Augusta, Kansas. Bear with me here just a little bit. Amen. And so these cities were important places of commerce. They were not just places, would spring up. You read about ghost towns, but you read about more cities that made it, than there are ghost towns around. Amen. Because people want to go to the cities. They want to live in those cities. Amen. And I'm trying to establish something here for you tonight, is that it's important that city, that you are, can become a place where God lives. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Amen. A city, if you go out into the dark, and you begin to look out in these plains around us, when you, especially if the city is built on a hill, you cannot hide that city. That city, is become, a light unto everything that is around it. Amen. I said it's become a light to everything that is around it. No one likes to go into dark places. Amen. We want to go where there's light. Thank God for the light. Amen. Thank God for the light of the gospel. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who is that light, that light of every man that cometh into the world. Amen. Thank God that we're not in darkness. Amen. But that He is the light. Amen. Oh, I'm trying to go here somewhere here tonight. Just bear with me just a little bit longer. Amen. We come to a city. Amen. And we find, the fellowship. I think I mentioned this already. We find the fellowship. Amen. We find that place where we can gain food. Amen. Where we can be fed. Amen. I don't know about you, but when you get out, into the wild and you've been gone hunting or fishing for a long time, after a while you want to come back and you want to see people. God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. I said God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. And so when God comes, and He begins to look for that city, He begins to look for those who are praising Him. Amen. He begins to look for those that are worshiping Him. Oh, I don't know about you, but when there's a worshiper up here, I want to worship too. When there's a prayer warrior up here praying, it makes me want to pray. Thank God for the worshipers. Thank God for the prayer warriors. Thank God for those that love Him. Oh, praise God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 18 says, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and at the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they cannot endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Listen to this. "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." I'm here to tell you tonight that God's not dwelling out there, amen, in the universe. It says that heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool, amen, but God dwells inside of people. Amen. God lives on the inside of the church. Amen. Not this building. This is the sanctuary of God. This is what we've dedicated to the Lord. But God lives inside of you. God wants to live inside of you. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, amen, that we are the city. Hey, friend of New Life Tabernacle, amen, you're the city of God. And God wants to dwell inside of you. He's not looking to dwell somewhere else. He wants to dwell in His people. Amen. Amen. He doesn't dwell out there in outer space. He fills it. God's not a hermit. God's not reclusive. Oh yeah. You know where God's at? He's right here in the church. I said He's right here in the church. I said you're the church. Amen. Everyone say I'm the church. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, that the temple that we have, amen, that we've got to keep it. Amen. A place where God wants to live. A place where God resides. Amen. I want to make sure my temple, amen, is that holy place that I can live for God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Oh, I'm here to preach to you tonight. Amen. That God wants to live inside of you, and He's looking for that city. We talk about heaven, and the heaven is a destination. That's where we're going. We're going to the New Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you right now that there is a city right here on this earth where God dwells. Amen. I said there's a place right here where God dwells. Amen. I want to get down to where we live tonight. Amen. There's some of you, you may wonder why you're walking this earth. You may wonder why you came through the doors of this church. Amen. I'm here to preach to you tonight. Amen. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And you know what happened to you today? Amen. When you got up, the Spirit began to work on you. The Spirit began to draw you. The Spirit began to deal with you about coming to the house of God, about coming to where God dwells at in His people. Oh, thank God for the people of God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that's still being poured out in this last hour right here in the church. People say, well, I'm going to church today. And I believe that decision is made. But there's a drawing. Right.
a drawing of the Spirit. That God wants to commune with us. That God wants to talk to us. Hey man, I know this might be just a little bit different here tonight. Hey man, but I'm trying to connect with you tonight. That God loves you. That God drew you to this house. And God said, come on, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey man, where's the rest at? It's in the Holy Ghost. This is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the refreshing. Thank God for the renewing. Thank God that he's still working in the church. Oh, somebody ought to praise the Lord right now. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost is real. I said it's real. Man, I've seen people come to church and they're looking at us like, wow, these people are crazy. Like, what's going on? Man, I've never seen anybody run the aisles in church. I asked a man the other night, I said, how'd you like church? He said, man, it sure was different. My dad, when he came to church the first time, he told my mom, he said, you know, I kind of liked what that preacher had to preach. But he said, I'll never act like those people. And what he didn't know is God was just setting him up. See, God's a setup man. He sets you up in more than one way. And when he got the Holy Ghost, amen, he said the Shekinah glory of God. He didn't even know what the Shekinah glory was. And if you say the Shekinah glory, people say, now what's that? That's the glory cloud that filled the house in the Old Testament. Amen, and the glory would come down and the priests weren't able to minister. Amen. The presence of God would come down in that house so strong. And my dad said the first time that he came to church, that the Holy Ghost came down so strong. Amen. And it said, come to the altar. And he said he looked around because he thought it was Brother Elder talking to him. And God spoke to him again, said, come to the altar. Amen. And when he went to the altar, he began to weep and cry before God and pour his heart out to God. You know what he was doing? He was preparing his heart for a place to God live, for God to live. Amen. I'm here to preach to you tonight. When you come to the altar, when you begin to talk to God, amen, that's the time to rend your heart, to search your heart, to repent of your sins. Amen. That's how you get your heart prepared, is to repent. Amen. The Bible says you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There is no other way of salvation, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that you need the Holy Ghost down in your soul. You need the Holy Ghost transforming your life. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost preparing you for God to live in your heart. That man, when he was going through the field, amen, maybe he was just wandering through the field, but I would rather say that that man was searching. You get people that are very astute in business. They just don't wonder about. Now, I've seen some people that are very rich, have much money, and they seem so unassuming that you think that they're not paying attention. But they're listening to the stock ticker. They're listening, amen, to what everybody has to say, amen, about business. Amen, they're cramming themselves full. And all of a sudden, they'll latch on and they'll say, whoa, wait a minute. That's something that we need to buy into because I sense something there. And that's the way it is with a spiritual person. Amen, that when they walk through the doors of the church, they sense something that I have never felt before. I'm feeling God on a level and on a measure that I've never
ever experienced. Amen. And that's what happened to that man that Jesus was talking about. He, as he walked through the fields, amen, and he found that treasure in the field. Amen. He found that thing that he'd been looking for. The Bible says he went and sold out. He went and sold out. Hey man, I don't know about you, but when I think about selling out, it means that you get rid of everything. And you say, I've got to buy this field. It doesn't matter what the cost is. Hey man, I'm going to buy this field. Hey man, the Bible says that the merchant man that was seeking those goodly pearls, he was searching and he was looking for that one pearl of great price. And when he found it, he knew he found it. He was like, wow, look at it. Here it is. Amen. Right in the middle. Amen. Of Augusta, Kansas. Amen. It may seem like a nondescript Sunday night. Amen. But all of a sudden, I've come across a pearl of great price. I've come across that thing that my soul's been looking for. Oh, I don't know about you tonight, but I found what I've been looking for. I was with Brother Rick Mayo in a coffee shop, and we were talking to the lady behind the counter, the owner of the coffee shop. And we were just talking about the good things of God, telling her about the church service we was about to have. And she said, you know, this world is looking for everything in the wrong places. And God is my witness, the song came on. And I don't listen to worldly songs. But the song came on, I still haven't found what I've been looking for. I still haven't found, and you know what? This world still hasn't found what it's been looking for. Hey man, he said, man, that's the testimony, amen, of those that haven't found the Holy Ghost. Amen, but I'm here to tell you tonight, I have found, amen, the joy. I have found the peace that passeth all understanding. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to find peace anywhere else. I said you won't find joy anywhere else. You won't find it in cars, houses, money, land. A husband, a wife. Thank God for my wife. You just qualify some statements because when God gives you a good thing, you get a blessing, you know it. But you know what? That's not what brings the joy and the peace and the Holy Ghost, the righteousness that the, you know, we're not self-righteous. But you know what the Holy Ghost does? Righteousness is a state of being right. And I've been wrong so many times in life that when the Holy Ghost got through with me, I was like, this is right. This is just the Holy Ghost. This is the way to live for God. And I've lived for God all my life. But there's just something about it. Hey, man, when you get right with God, hey, man, it's through the Holy Ghost. You don't get right with God in yourself. It's not in self-help. I believe, hey, man, in reading self-help, I've listened to guys on the radio. Hey, man, I've seen guys on videos that tell you all sorts of things. They'll make you laugh. They'll make you cry. They'll encourage you. But you know what the Holy Ghost does? Is the Holy Ghost restores your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. It's not something that I just use for a spare tire, but I've got to have it. The Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. The Holy Ghost will totally transform your life. I was preaching to the church this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know that word transformed, as humans we struggle
with transformation. We see the butterfly as it comes out of the cocoon. And just months before, it was a little worm inching its way across the highway, dodging the Michelin man. Oh, yeah. And you see that little fuzzy worm going across the road. And that little fuzzy worm is going to a transformation. This is what I may be right now. But I know tomorrow that I'm going to be that beautiful monarch butterfly that we see going across the sky. Amen. And that's what we are. We may seem like we're swimming our way through the cares of life. And we may seem like we're inching our way, amen, slowly but surely through the things, amen, that we have to work our way through. But do you know there's a change coming? Amen, I want to tell you about a change. And that change is the Holy Ghost. Amen, that transformation is through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not a one-time experience. It's not something that just happens every now and then. Amen, but it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen, that's why we come to the house of God. Amen. And so that I can fly again. Amen. And so that I can have that transformation that I've been looking for. Is anybody here that wants that transformation? Thank God I've got to have it for my life. That is the place where God lives. The place where God lives. If the musicians would come. Acts chapter 7. And verse 48, it says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God doesn't dwell in structures. God, I think I've already established this, but God dwells inside of people. He lives inside of people. He said, I will be their people. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Revelations 21 and 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, where is it at? Is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. You say, preacher, where's God at? He wants to be with you. The tabernacle of God. I don't know how many ways I can preach it here tonight, but the tabernacle of God is with men. You sitting on this pew, God wants to be where you're at. He wants to dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I want to tell you tonight that fountain is here tonight. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to start drinking of that fountain. We don't have to wait. We can receive the Holy Ghost right here in this world. Amen. We can become the tabernacle of God. Is there anybody here tonight? Can we stand? Is there anybody here tonight that needs the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody here tonight that needs renewing? Amen. I don't know. I know you. But you know what? There's a God that I serve that really knows you. I said he knows us better than anybody else. And while I may know you, I don't know everything about you. The Bible tells us that he numbers the hair on our head. He sees every sparrow that falls. And if I serve the Heavenly Father that knows that much, how much more does he care about us and want to give us his Spirit? Is there anybody here that wants to come to this altar? Church, why don't we gather into the altar tonight? Bring our friends with us. Come on, let's pray right now. God, make me a sanctuary. Lord, prepare. You all know that song? Lord, prepare me. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Can we all pray right now? Can we lift our voices to the Lord? Oh, in the name of Jesus.